sort of followed my father's interest in art. Mm-hmm. His grandfather used to paint murals in temples in Europe.
In temples?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Well, anyway.
It's okay.
Stop. He had a lot of artistic things in the house he collected. Lived at Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, and I was exposed to Ohio State, but that was later on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So your father and your grandfather's involvement in art made you want to be an artist as well. But why did you choose to go into ceramics?
I was a regular fine arts student, and one day I went downstairs at Ohio State at Hayes Hall and saw cases and cases filled with ceramics from all over the world, and I was just fascinated. So at the end of, I think in my senior year, I started taking ceramics. I just loved it. It was a way you could, it was sculptural, and you could decorate, and it was like a painting. It had all the components of fine arts. In fact, in Ohio, ceramics is considered fine arts.
Mm-hmm. So in your senior year, you started taking courses in ceramics.
Yes.
And then when you graduated, how did you move into pursuing ceramics as a career?
Okay. After graduation, I got married mm-hmm. and moved to Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I became acquainted with very famous potters, Esther and John Sills. And I worked with them. I made their glazes and taught classes and also did work. That's the connection. Cleveland is where I was in the Cleveland Museum of Art. Remember mm-hmm. I told you that?
Mm-hmm.
Ohio was a great center for clay mm-hmm. manufacturing, and they had tile factories, sewer pipe, art pottery, many things because of the location of the clay.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it was the clay-oriented. And getting to the point where in Cleveland, Ohio, Cleveland Museum of Art allowed clay things to come into their shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up thinking that clay was a fine art.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came here in 1946, I brought things from the clay from the Cleveland Museum of Art show. Mm-hmm. To try to enter in the Western New York show at Albright, to which they said, we do not accept ceramics as an art form, period.
And that's the beginning.
That is the beginning.
Of Sylvia's time in Buffalo.
That was the beginning of why my husband and I, in 1988, established the Sylvia L. Rosen
mm-hmm.
craft art show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's okay. Story of how the craft arts thing started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how did your career progress in Buffalo during those 30, 40 years when, before you started the Sylvia Rosen Craft Art Show?
I was a member of the Buffalo Craftsman.
Okay.
And has exhibited there. Also entered shows, like I made a statewide show. All these things are in my... And that's,
mm-hmm.
But we want to hear it from you.
Okay.
We want to hear your experiences, you
okay.
know.
Okay, well, let's see. The piece is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the year, but I was in a New York State show that was people from all over the state mm-hmm. entered. And I was in that. I was in, I got to think of many Buffalo Craftsman shows. Was even in the Albright in the members' gallery at one time
mm-hmm.
When they had one craft show. I can't think of all of the piece. But I did work, and then I went back to Buff State, and I taught at Buff State. I taught a ceramic part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I also studied with during my master's at Buff State.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of your influential mentors? You mentioned the couple in Ohio.
Oh, they're great, definitely. Esther Sills
yeah.
and her husband. And Dr. Arthur Baggs, who was my teacher, mm-hmm. was famous.
Mm-hmm.
He was, he came from Alfred, which is the most important ceramic school. and he was my teacher, and I just was inspired by him.
Was he the biggest influence on you?
Especially that he was a functional potter, and so were the sills. And little did I know that that wasn't the only way to do ceramics. That was it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great, thank you. Would you say, were there any artists in Buffalo that you met who influenced your work or that you found collaboration with or anything like that?
I can't say so.
Okay.
Because I didn't study ceramics in Buffalo.
Right.
And the people in Buffalo, craftsmen, were just kind of equal.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
You know, we learn from each other all the time.
Yeah.
And there are some ceramic artists that may have been your peers, but that you also felt like they had done things that you...
Well,
like
if there are any... Oh, like within the Buffalo Craftsman, there was Marvin Buerlin and Bill Stewart and...
Did Franz Wildenhain ever have an impact? What? Franz Wildenhain?
Oh, gee, I met him. I met her. Marguerite.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I met her and worked with her. Mm-hmm. Yes, she was an influence.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All these people worked in functional pottery,
mm-hmm.
except Bill Stewart. That's why bringing in those other people, it might be confusing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you talk about why you create ceramics? You know, what you create functional pottery.
I also do the other,
yes.
of course.
Oh. Would you like to talk about that for a minute?
Oh, I have done a great deal of hand building. Mm-hmm. In fact, the piece that you like, that Bethany Kroll likes, is hand built.
Okay.
I recently, this last year, I studied with a teacher that's a hand builder, and I did some hand building.
Mm-hmm.
I have one example here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Could you talk about... You've made so many pieces in your entire career, but what are some themes of different types of work that you create? Like you focus on teapots and that sort of thing?
No. It's
good
one of my favorites right now. There's a teacher that I worked with a couple of years ago. When I say I work in my home, but I come to the class to do my glazing and firing.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie Siemens, she makes very interesting teapots. It's kind of got to be a fad to do teapots because they require, as I wrote in my statement, it require a lot of planning. Like a teapot has to function, you have to be able to lift it, it has to have a strainer. I didn't mention that in the little note. The spout has to be at a certain position so you pour right, and,
mm-hmm.
and the lid has to fit so it doesn't fall out.
Mm-hmm.
So there are challenges that don't exist in other pots.
Mm-hmm.
So I do find teapots very interesting.
Yeah, that must be a lot of fun to kind of figure it out.
Yeah, kind of a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot. I've had some rejected because the spout wasn't high enough, and when you poured them, they just don't function.
What are some other forms that you have focused on in your career?
I like the covered pot also.
Mm-hmm.
What other pots? Bowls. I've done some interesting bowls.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the materials that you've used? What are some of your favorite materials?
There are three types of clay, and I've used all of them.
Okay.
Presently, I'm only working in porcelain. And like this is... I like bowls.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a lot of interesting bowls, I think. In fact, the one that's in the Birchfield, the black and white one,
mm-hmm.
bowls.
Do you have any favorite glazes that
oh,
you
yes.
like to use?
There's only one I really love, and that's celadon.
Okay.
And if I'll show you one of my father's early celadon things that I've had all these years, it's that beautiful color. Very hard to achieve, and it varies depending on the temperature of the kiln,
mm-hmm.
and also your formula.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And do you like celadon so much because you were influenced by your father, or what is it about the material that you like so much?
Because I've always been interested in the Orient, and that was their primary for a long time. Their favorite. why celadon was so important. It resembles jade, and that's what they thought it looked like in China. And so they pursued it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Asian cultures have been a big influence on work. Could you talk about that for a minute? Maybe what aspects you find most inspirational?
Oh, like their love of nature. Yeah. And I've been to Japan several times, been to Thailand. I have all sorts of things from those countries. A lot of them are celadon. Mm-hmm. I like their love of nature, and they're kind of peaceful. I like their morning ritual of cutting their flowers the first thing and arranging an ikebana. I have one in my home in Florida where I have a scroll, and a sculptural item, and fresh flowers. So I just kind of enjoyed that spirit.
You enjoy the aesthetics of it as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. It's interesting, too, because...
I knew some artists that were... I met the famous Soji Hamada, of which I have a piece that he gave me. He's a national treasure, mm-hmm. and I personally met him.
When did you meet him?
1971, the year I graduated from Buff State.
Wow.
Yes.
How much time have you spent over in Asia? Would you go for long trips, or were they short trips, or...
I never spent any really long time. I was invited by Soji Hama to teach there, but my husband wouldn't let me. No, I didn't spend long time. So we had factories in Japan, mm-hmm. and I visited that as I was part of that company.
Mm-hmm. What company?
It's William Korn and Company to begin with, which became Buffcor.
Okay.
Yeah, and I worked in that, designing and...
So you created commercial pottery as well?
Yes. Wonderful. Yes.
Yeah. Was that the main focus of your career for any period of time?
No, that is a period that was absent of my ceramic production because my husband went overseas and I had come back to where my parents were, mm-hmm. and I worked with my father, mm-hmm. brothers.
Mm-hmm. And your family worked there as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Mainly with my father at the beginning, because mm-hmm. we kind of understood each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wonderful, thank you. Would you like to talk for a minute about your creative process, how you decide to create a certain form? Like, what makes you want to make a bowl versus a teapot, you know?
Actually, the clay kind of leads you that way. You may decide you want to make something like a teapot and end up making a bowl because you've lost part of the clay. Mm-hmm. I can't say that when I had assignments, I had to make specific things, but on my own now, I think you need some idea of where you're going, but it doesn't necessarily mean you always end up there.
Do you find different types of clay lead you to make different types of things?
Oh, there's such a difference in throwing... It's very easy to throw in earthenware mm-hmm. and in stoneware. It's much more difficult to throw in porcelain. Mm-hmm. Yes, I to say what's easier, I prefer the earthenware and the stoneware. You can do a lot more mm-hmm. because porcelain limits you. Mm-hmm. It's like throwing cottage cheese. It's not, doesn't have the teeth.
It doesn't have that same integrity to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What type of works do you end up making in porcelain, predominantly?
Predominantly teapots and cover jars.
Great.
So the material helps you decide, and so it's that connection between you as an artist and the material that you're working with that helps you sort of form your direction.
It limits you to a certain extent. Mm-hmm.
But also, isn't that part of the, is that for you, that's a big part of being a craft artist, is having a very intense relationship with the material.
Yeah, hands-on. Yeah, I've written to that, remember? Since I love watercolor, but it doesn't have the fascination to me that working in clay. I like the hands-on material relationship mm-hmm. that you...
That's great. Can you talk a little bit about your watercolors?
Oh, God, that's so long ago.
So you don't make too many watercolors anymore?
Oh, I don't anymore.
When were you making watercolors?
Early on, in my early days at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. That was my major.
Okay.
And sculpture. And I did a lot of watercolors. I made shows, but I couldn't even mention. I don't even know.
Actually,
once I was in a show at the Canvas, and it took me about 4 weeks of labor working at odd jobs in order to buy the frame material, and they were stolen. So I went back to my teacher. I was so upset, and he said, "Well, why? I think you consider yourself happy that somebody really wanted them." I didn't feel the same way.
No, I'm sure you didn't.
No.
Do you feel that your background in watercolor influences the way you view Charles Birchfield's work? Or
the way I decorate, yes. Training in art, in order to paint, you need to know how to draw. In order to know color, you need to know color mm-hmm. relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's all the same, as I say, the degree in other cities, or should I say other states, include ceramics
mm-hmm.
and its applications and its decorations as fine art. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that has changed here in Buffalo? For example, ceramics are in many ways now considered to be a fine art here in Buffalo, and that might be in part because of your inspiration.
I don't know if I want to answer that. I don't think it's been accepted, except because of the Birchfield. It was Tony Bannon that accepted the craft art mm-hmm. Show to begin with my husband way back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. But I think you've directly impacted the way that people view craft art.
I think you certainly have. Yes, mm-hmm. and definitely the Birchfield has been right up there supporting me and allowing this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For which I'm greatly indebted, as you know.
It's the other way around.
Huh?
The Birchfield's greatly indebted to you for supporting.
Gallery, look what I have as a result of that little step. And Tony had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. He may not even remember that.
Can you talk a little bit about what you have done personally to advance not only your career in the arts, but also to advance the standing of ceramics in Western New York? You mentioned the craft art show. Can you talk about how the craft art show came to be?
There are other ways. How about the Clay Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Clay Olympics, have you heard of that?
No, please talk about that.
Oh, well, this is part of the endowment. Mm-hmm. The ceramic department invites high schools in the area to come and compete in the Olympics. It's mm-hmm. very fun. They throw with their feet, they make hand-built things, and the high schools in the area. This also, Bethany Kroll happens to be somebody that came to sit one of those when she was younger and ended up coming to Buff State.
Really?
It enrolls students in ceramics. There are others. I can't think of anybody else right now. Somebody that won my scholarship. I offer scholarships at the Clay Olympics. And within the Clay Olympics, there's a little art show, and I give prizes in that. So that's outside the community, and that's outside of Birchfield, except it's part of the endowment.
Yeah, but it's also great because even though it's outside of the Birchfield, it is such a large part of the community.
Yes, and the college.
Yeah, and it strengthens the awareness of ceramics in the community. Mm-hmm. When did you start the Clay Olympics?
Oh, it's been 10 years.
Yeah?
Yes. It's also... Well, learning disabilities is a general title. And I thought the purpose of my project was that you could teach through a different medium. You could do it with sports or
mm-hmm.
I chose clay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had students who made objects that were fired. I took my own kiln there, my own wheel. They didn't have the equipment. And we had shows, and they made things, and we made trips we made flower arrangements and sold them, and then rented a bus. There was a write-up about it. Rented a bus and went to Cape Cod.
Right.
What are some other endeavors that you've taken on to raise awareness about ceramics as fine art throughout your whole time in Western
New York? I don't really work on it for that reason. Because I figure if they don't know, it's their problem.
But you've brought friends in for tours, and you, when you're in the community, you speak about it. There are subtle ways.
Yeah, I've spoken. Different organizations have invited me to speak. At Brandeis University, and I got documentation on all this, but can't think of them right now.
That's okay. Like you've mentioned, a lot of this we have on record.
And I've taught in the area at UB and at Amherst Senior High, and some of those students ended up working in clay. Yeah.
Can you say that again?
Ron LaFleur was one of my students that I'm from UB that ended up becoming quite famous. I have some of his work here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who are some other students that you've had who you've influenced? You mentioned Bethany Krall. Are there
any other? I didn't have a direct influence.
You directly influenced her, but she was never one of your students. She learned from you, but as a fellow artist.
No, she wasn't a student, no. I taught at Buff State, but not in the ceramic department, education department, where I taught students who were non-art majors. So I didn't teach ceramics to them.
But you still had a great influence on so many
There were some students. I did teach a ceramic project within that became interested and then went into ceramics.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
I had one student in my special project at Amherst who ended up coming to Buff State, but I couldn't give you her name.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. How long did you teach and where did you teach? Could you mention that for a minute?
Right. I started when I returned to doing that after not leaving the other. I went to UB at the Creative Craft Center. I was part of establishing that with an Irene Lahr, who was a fellow Buffalo craftsman.
When was that?
1950s or 60s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they said I couldn't continue to teach there unless I got my master's. So I left there and went to Buff State. Got my master's, got a job at Buff State. So I never went back there.
So then you were at Buff State. How long were you at Buff State?
10 years.
Okay, awesome. And part of why we're doing this oral history project is because we want to provide information for emerging artists about how some more established artists, how their careers have gone, you know, what the trajectory has been. So I like to ask people a couple questions about, for example, if there's something you wish you could have told yourself right when you came out of college about what it's like to work in the arts, what would it be? That's a big one, and I know that's a really hard one. But sometimes there's things you wish you had known.
Wish I had known. Oh, God. When I graduated in 1941, don't forget I didn't work in or teach for another until I went after going back to Buff State. Well, I did teach. So that's a long gap. And I was in business, which was also based on art because I designed background things. So I don't know what I could say.
But what in general, what kind of advice would you give artists about making work?
I would just say stick to it. It's not an easy beginning. Sometimes you're fortunate, you find your right spot. But doesn't mean you should give up if you just don't find it right away. Look at how long it took me to get to where I was doing what I wanted to do. Graduated in 1941, but didn't teach art as art until 60s, 70s.
Wow.
Because that was first depression. Don't forget, I've been through the first one. the real one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
92 years.
What have been some of your needs as an artist that the community has provided you with?
The community.
Or maybe things that you wish you had gotten but didn't, and you had to end up creating yourself.
Well, like you say, when you need supplies, art supplies, when you're a student and you need funds, somebody offering you a scholarship, like the funds that I give to the students now. Gee, I wish I could let you read this last thank you note I got. It's really, because it came at a time when you really need it. I think that people who have scholarships to help students while they're in school, yes.
Do you feel like, as a ceramic artist, that there are special needs that you have, like a space to work, like kilns and stuff? I know that they're not... Some painters, they can paint anywhere, but ceramic artists really need space to work in.
Yeah. Well, see, now, Robert allows people to work there.
Mm-hmm.
Extra time from class and all. Studio space, yeah, that's a very important part.
Even particularly if you're not in school, if you're just a practicing artist, what would you do?
It's very hard for ceramic artists to find a spot. I've always had a spot because there isn't anything. I worked in the, what do you call it, the night schools that they had at the different...
The continuing education?
Yeah, the continuing the education is important. And... high schools, I studied ceramics at high school before I got back into doing it. Found out somebody, Harold Lofgren, who was a teacher at Buff State, he had a studio in his house, and I worked there. You pay to go there, but you, in order to have a kiln, which I have in this studio, I was, how old was I? Well, by the time I finally got a studio, I was already living in this house and was up there. Until then, it was, had to work wherever it could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gee, well, for a ceramic studio, open free space would be great somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the colleges, like Robert Wood, can't allow that. He's very generous in money, but
there's a limitation. They can only do it so much.
They have classes and students. It interferes with the use of the studio, which isn't always large enough. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be involved in the new... Oh, I'm so excited about that. There's going to be a library in the new Upton Hall. This isn't official yet.
Mm-hmm.
Where I will have a library and I will give them my books, some of my collection. Maybe they'll ask a piece of my work. And you know what else they want?
What?
The large... photograph with me holding the bowl. He says that's going to be in the that only happened last week. I don't know. I have loss of sight,
mm-hmm.
and it makes a big difference because I can't quite see what.
Yeah.
Particularly with decoration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you find that even though your sight isn't as good as it used to be, you can still feel what you're making?
That's why I can still work.
Yeah.
But I haven't done anything all summer, as you see.
That's all of my questions, if that's okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your career or your work or anything like that?
I don't know.
There's always more.
There is always more.
There's always more. What do you think about Charles Birchfield's work?
Oh, I love it, and I've got some... It's not painted probably in the same period of time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love watercolor. And I don't know why I switched. I found the clay a little more intriguing for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But watercolor, Harvey Braverman, who's an artist here, and I worked at UB for a while, and he came to my house once and saw my old watercolors. I'll show you my old watercolors. He says, why are you doing clay work when you can paint like that? Come to my class. I think you should change your profession. He actually said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, regardless of what you did, that's quite a compliment.
I really thought that when I was older, I don't know how much older, but that I would switch back, but then I lost my eyesight to a certain extent. And even though, like you say, you could feel the clay if you miss seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have macular degeneration, which wipes out. So.
Yes.
So the question I wanted to ask you was about the support that you got from your family when it came to working, and also went working in the arts. And you don't have to, I won't record this
when
if you...
I start at the beginning.
I won't record this if you don't want me to, but I was hoping that you could possibly talk about the support that you got from your husband when it came to teaching and working and making work.
Remember the article? Could she see that article that Richard Huntington wrote?
Well, I was hoping that you would tell us the story. You could tell her the story about
Tell her the story? Oh. My husband didn't approve of my teaching.
What?
No. And so I hired somebody that came in 11:30. I went to work at UB on this campus. And before I left, I put an apple and an onion in the oven. So he'd think I was cooking all day. And this article was in Gusto. Richard Honey wrote, Sylvia was working with pots, but not the kind that Nate wanted. And he didn't know I was working until he got my W-2 form. So it wasn't, I talk about a male chauvinist. Yeah.
But he was supportive in other ways.
Well, after the fact, after he saw that I could make stuff, he's the one that gave the money for the craft art. Yes.
So in the long run, he helped you work on realizing some of your dreams.
That's right. Absolutely. Oh yeah. But not at the beginning, because he said, "I don't care what you do all day long, as long as dinner's on the table, the kids are dressed, you know."